We're starting to find ourselves in that part of summer where we're like, man, I thought this was supposed to be summer break, but it is quickly flying away from us and maybe would be better referred to as summer fast break, right? The kids' activities are starting to pick up and it's like, oh, we only have just a few weeks left of summer. And life can fly by, or we can take captive what we've been given and allow God to go to work. And you've already been praying, and we continue to pray that that's what's going to happen among our junior hires this week as they set aside intentional time to pursue Jesus. We trust that the Spirit will show up in our midst, in their midst. And I would suggest that we need to be a people who intentionally make sure we're present with God, so that he can show up with his Spirit in our midst. And that's what we hope to do this morning. We've been in the book of Acts for maybe what feels like a long time, about 20 weeks thus far. We've been unpacking the understanding of Acts and being reminded that God is at work and we're to follow Jesus and be led by the Spirit. And I just want to help us see kind of where we've been a little bit, overview that, because something strange happens as we're going to be heading into Acts 21 today. In chapter 20, there's this little weird verse that for a second makes us reconsider some things. It says this: after the uproar ceased, Paul sent for his disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed for Macedonia. It's like, well, after the uproar ceased, it's like Paul's saying, okay, it's been chaotic and crazy, and now we can all kind of come up and take a breath, and things are about to be normal. And if you have much life experience, you know that the second you come up for breath to believe that life is going to be a little bit normal, you can almost guarantee that chaos ensues, right? That more is coming. And everybody who has done work on Acts would say the temperature in Acts chapter 20, moving to the end of the book, would start to ratchet up. And here Paul's like, yeah, all this chaos has been happening. It's ceased. And now, well, now maybe the real work is about to begin. And I want to just kind of ask ourselves, are we looking for normal? Or are we looking to be people who follow Jesus and are led by the Spirit? Have we like over-glorified normal? Believing that like we're a people designed to just be able to just kind of meander and make it through life? Or are we going to live into our design? What God has called us to? As we look at where we're at in Acts, let me remind you, in chapter 1, it's just an intro. Paul's trying to help us understand, or Luke is, who writes this, he's trying to help us understand that this is a two-part work. That Acts is really connected back to the Gospel of Luke, where we see the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus ultimately culminating in his ascension. And where Luke leaves off the gospel, Acts picks up to remind us that Jesus is victorious as the resurrected one, and he ascended back to the right hand of God, where he continues to rule and reign on our behalf. And he sends down the Holy Spirit. And there we are to be his witnesses. And it says they're going to go to Jerusalem. You're going to get to be witnesses among the Jewish audience, the people that they know there in chapters 2-7. But then he says, no, it's not just going to be among the people you know. This is going to be a multi-ethnic movement. You're going to go to Judea and to Samaria. And it's not just going to be a multi-ethnic movement. We're going to spread out and we're going to reach the ends of the earth. And we see that in 13-20. And then we pick up 20-28, and we start to see that, whoa, this is a church story. That Acts is not this outdated story that gets concluded at the end of the book that we find in the Bible, but God always intended for Acts to be this ongoing story of the followers of Jesus who are led by Jesus and following the Spirit. And so we find ourselves in Acts chapter 21. Where for a second, it feels like things have, well, we've come up for a little bit of air. Only for, as we'll spend the next few weeks to conclude the book of Acts, we're only going to see that God had a different plan and things ratcheted up and he used Paul and his disciples to do a moving work rather than pursuing normal. They chose to follow the Spirit. Today we're going to be in Acts chapter 21, verses 1 through 6 as we pick this up and we start turning toward what does it really look like to be maybe not normal, to actually be witnesses to the kingdom of God so that more and more people can know the power of the gospel. Let's look at verses 1 through 6 of chapter 21. It's page 1030 in the Bibles that are in front of you. It says, "And when we had parted from them and set sail, we came by a straight course to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara, and having found a ship crossing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had come in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre." I think that's supposed to mean tired after all the traveling. "For their ship was to unload its cargo, and having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days, and through the Spirit they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. When our days were ended, we departed and went out on our journey, and they all, with wives and children, accompanied us until we were outside the city, and kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship, and they returned home." Well, without a map directly in front of us, it's kind of like, where are they at? There's been all this traveling as we've been following Paul through all these missionary journeys. He's been going here and there and everywhere and back here and back there and to a new everywhere. And it's kind of like, where are we at and what is going on? Well, I'll allow you to go in your own time and kind of study the geography because I think there's something more that's going on here. This isn't about just all these geographical locations. It's about, hey, wherever we go, what are we to be doing? And just like we might get geographically lost as we're watching Paul kind of go here and there with the other disciples and spreading the witness to the kingdom of God, I think sometimes you and I get lost. We get lost in all the places that we're going here and there and everywhere and back here and back there. And I think oftentimes as we get lost, we start to underestimate how God has been at work in our past, preparing us and shaping us for our present. And maybe in our present, wanting to prepare and shape us for what he would have for us in the future. As we look at what's happening here, we just see a lot of transition. And transitions matter. And as we've been talking about, God doesn't waste things if we're looking at Jesus and we're being led by the Spirit. What does it look like not to waste some of these transition moments? It was about 15 years ago. There was a college football coach who was amazing at the time. His team was winning. He seemed to have everything going for him. And so he's the guy who everybody would bring to the leadership conferences to say, "What's the secret sauce of your winning?" And I remember listening to his leadership talk there, and he hit on something that felt real to me. He said, "Well, you know, it's really not about offense and defense and the kicking game. It's really about transitions. What sets good teams apart from great teams is great teams work on the transitions. They know when to come off. They know when to come on. They know when and how to swing momentum." And as he's working through and kind of captivating people's mind in the football lane, he goes, "Hey, I just want you to know we're not really talking about football. We're talking about you win and lose in life in transitions. Most people just think, well, I'm going here or I'm going there. And we forget to do so with eyes wide open to what might being need to be done there." Now, I double down on this statement because this guy is no longer coaching. At the moment, he's not ascending at any level in the coaching world. And if you look at his life, he's falling apart. And I think he forgot what he should have remembered. Transitions matter. Being intentional as we go from here to there to everywhere, we have to stay focused on what is our purpose. As he gave that talk some 15 years ago, it resonated deeply inside of me because I'm like, I think that's really real. And over my years, I've just kind of studied and looked and saw, is there research out there? Are there different things? And if you go on experiences with us at Madison Park, you'll often hear me talk about reentry because I think transitions matter. As we come and go from place to place, relationship to relationship, what we do in the in-between matters. When we take our kids from home to school, that 3-minute car ride changes the trajectory of their day. When we say, who wants to pray for the day? And we start to hear our kids pray prayers that will change schools. Or when we leave the office grumpy because the day didn't go as we planned and we pull over to the side of the road and say, God, I'm going to have to give you that. Whatever that was, it was messy. I'm going to have to give you that because you've primarily called me to be a good spouse and a good parent. And I'm just going to confess, I want to go home and disconnect, but I'm going to give you that moment. And in this transition place, will you meet me with your Holy Spirit? And will you show up when I enter my house? Will you allow me to be present? Present with you and present with my family. I believe transitions matter. And oftentimes we just get geographically and spiritually lost in the transitions. I would encourage us not to do that. We might have even got lost in where we're at in the book of Acts. Do you remember why we're here? All the way back in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, when Luke starts recording, why is the church here and what is the church supposed to be doing? He writes this in that text. He says, so when they had come together, they ask, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? I love that question. Lord, will you make things normal? Will you put this under our control? Will you show us everything about how it's supposed to go? And this is the Lord's response. He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the season that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sights. Why does the church gather? In our going here and going there and going everywhere, what are we supposed to be doing? Well, the text says we're supposed to be looking for the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will receive power, that this body of believers, the people of the way, the Christians, the believers, as we gather together, in our comings and in our goings, we're to be looking for this power that changes us, that leads us out of normal and into what God has designed for us. And what should this power be doing? This power should be bearing witness to what we've learned about in the Gospel of Luke, bearing witness to the ways of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his continual reign on our behalf. We are to be a people that are looking for God's power in our life through the Holy Spirit and then bearing witness to that. I want you to jump back to verse 4. We've had all this coming and going. There's all these transitional moments. And then just this little simple verse slides in and it's like, what is that? Therefore, and having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. What's Paul do? What's Paul do in his transitions? The ship has landed. Don't miss this. He says he sought out the disciples. Where are the believers? Where are the people that know Jesus, that are trying to follow Jesus? Where are they at? Because I want to go be with them because what? That's where the Spirit's at. That's where we can collaborate on things. And I just have to ask myself, like, when I'm going here and there and everywhere, do I have a heartbeat to just kind of get to know, where are the believers? Where are the believers in my school? Where are the believers in my community? In my workplace? Because I believe that as we gather, we're going to sharpen each other and we're going to get to know things about each other. Paul says, and in your transitions, if you want to bear witness, get to know where are the believers. And then start dialoguing with them. But something else happens in this text. He hangs out there for 7 days and it says this, and through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. Well, as we look through the book of Acts, Paul is incredibly convicted that he is to get to Rome, and he's going to go through Jerusalem to get to Rome, and he feels like the Spirit is leading him in that direction, and as he meets with these group of believers, they believe that the Spirit shouldn't be sending him there. Both people trying to follow the Spirit, both groups wrestling, and yet, well, this isn't a cookie-cutter approach. Everybody's wanting to come up for normal. Huh, how do we follow the Spirit? How do we just take a breath and let this thing go? And what happens when the Spirit doesn't do what we expect? Does the Spirit ever cause disagreements, wrestling among the body of believers to actually make sure that the body of Christ matures and grows and expands and reaches more people for the gospel? Paul shows up to a body of believers to say, hey, this is what the Spirit's doing in my life. And they say, we're wrestling with the Spirit and we don't think you should go. Matthew Skinner says it this way, and I think it'll be really helpful. He says, Christians often look to the Holy Spirit for the means and inspirations to reconcile differences. What if the Spirit also contributes to conflict or to differing of opinions among believers? This passage holds out the possibility that opposing convictions can originate from the Spirit's influence. At first blush, such an assertion may pose serious problems. If the Spirit leads like this, how can God possibly expect to be known among Christians? How can we ever hope for those who observe Christian communities from the outside to see the evidence of the Spirit among us? Can the Spirit even be recognized in the midst of division? What do we do? What do we do when in transitions or in the chaos of life, we start feeling led by the Spirit and it conflicts with what other people feel led by the Spirit in? How do we bear witness in that place? How do we reconcile those things? Can I remind you the totality of the book of Acts? We are to be a people who are experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit and are bearing witness to what Jesus has done. We don't do that on human abilities, right? We don't do that out of our own strength, out of our own goodwill. These are things that we say, you know what? I'm going to have to yield. Yield to God the Father, yield to God the Son, yield to God the Holy Spirit, yield to His Scriptures, yield to other believers. What does that look like? Well, in the book of Acts, it looked like this in verses 2:42 through 47, it says, and when they devoted themselves to this way, the apostles' teaching and the fellowship of the breaking in the bread and to prayer, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You see what the Spirit does? The Spirit might nudge us, create tension within us, even as a body of believers, to mature us. But if we keep leading and following, or not leading the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to lead us, it produces things inside of us as a community of believers. A willingness to keep learning in the teachings. A willingness to know that it's only by the grace of God that we will ever be able to do anything significant. We'll be unified in what Jesus has done. We'll become sacrificial and generous in the way that we live. We'll become accountable, accountable to God and accountable to each other. And he doesn't just stop there. He goes on in chapter 4 to tell us and remind us that, hey, we are to be a people led by the power of the Spirit to bear testimony, to bear witness to the world around us. He says this in verses 32 through 37 of chapter 4. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. Do you notice the unity? And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. Do you notice the accountability and the sacrifice? And with great power, power of the Holy Spirit, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They were bearing witness. And great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of the land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called the Apostle Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. When the church lives out its calling to follow the power of the Holy Spirit and to bear witness, it does incredible things. But we need to recognize we have this longing desire within us to just come up for normal. And that happens in the book of Acts 2. Right after both of these passages of how powerful unity is in following the Spirit, we get Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. A couple that chose to be greedy and isolate themselves and secretive and divisive. And they died. The Lord struck them dead to remind us that when we don't live in following the Spirit, when we don't follow the Spirit in that way, something inside us in the church dies. We see that there will be lots of things that will happen to the church. We see Stephen being persecuted. We see Saul, Paul, who ravages the church. And now he's talking about what it looks like to be the church. The book of Acts is filled with all of these parts of our humanity, where sometimes we just are human and we forget that we were called to live by the power of the Spirit and to bear witness. For us, sometimes it goes like this. Do you remember the good old days? And we start to reflect back. Well, you remember the good old days when I found the Lord and salvation and the church was doing this or that and that missionary was up to these things? And we start to reflect on the good old days as if they were normal. And we over-glorify them. And we forget that back in the good old days, those were a bunch of human Christians, just like we are in this moment, trying to figure out life, and there was tensions, and there was hardships, and there was wrestlings, and they didn't always get along. But what led them out of the good old days to be where we are today is a group of believers. A group of believers who said, we're not going to live out of our humanity, we're going to live out of the power of the Spirit. And we're going to trust the Spirit in its leading, and we're going to stay unified even when the Spirit convicts and challenges us and maybe even leads us in different ways of thinking. That happens. What I want to caution us in is in this moment of history, because some point in history, these will be the good old days, where we are a decade or two down the road and we reach back and say like, well, do you remember the good old days when God was showing up through his Holy Spirit? And in that place, let's not try to be self-sufficient and say, look what we did back then. No, It will be by the power of the Holy Spirit that you and I stay what God has called us to in the book of Acts, to be unified, committed to sacrificially following Jesus in a way that more people can know the power of the gospel. Paul finds himself in this place in verses 4 saying, man, I don't agree with what has happened here, but the mission must move forward. And as it does so, we look at verses 5 through 6. Because we've seen a lot of transition in the book of Acts, going here and there and everywhere. And then we see this need to follow the Spirit and what happens when the Spirit leads us differently. What do we do with that? What happens when the Spirit actually creates disagreements among us with the intention to mature us? Well, it will be how we respond to that moment that bears witness to the power of what we actually believe about Jesus. Do you see it in the text? Look at verses 5 through 6. When our days there were ended, we departed and went on the journey, and they all with wives and children accompanied us until we were outside the city, and kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship, and they returned home. As you think about your disagreements in your life, maybe the ones like me that we've handled poorly, where you disagree and you go home and you vent to your spouse and you take it out on your kids, and then you wake up the next day and you go back to what you're doing and you reconcile that, you make way in your head and in your heart, and maybe even with the person that you were frustrated with or the situation, like you move on in that, but you left your home like wrecked over the deal. Like oftentimes in our disagreements, we kind of blow things up and we forget that there's people that are still processing all of that. If we want to be a people led by the Spirit and be able to have spirited discussions in what God wants to do in our lives in the same direction and in different directions, we have to be committed to following up with the process. It says, after they had disagreed, these were heated discussions they were having for 7 days about what the church was being called to. And it says, after they had disagreed, they grabbed their spouses and their children. And they said, we may not agree exactly on where all of this is going, but we do know this, we agree on Jesus. And we agree that we should depart in a way that allows the Spirit to continue to do a work here and to continue to do a work where Paul is being sent. And if we see the faithfulness of God, we see that faithfulness uncovered and it works. And so they journey outside the city. I think that this is important. They had internal discussions that were heated, that were hard, that were prayed over, that tears were shed, laughter was extended, all of those types of things. And then they went outside. This isn't to be hypocritical. This isn't to slide things under the rug. This is to understand the importance of the church, that as a body of believers, we need to be wrestling with the things that the Spirit is convicting us. And then we need to walk outside our gates and bear witness to being a people that may not always see things the exact way, but are committed to following Jesus and walking well together. And did you notice as they walked outside, bringing their families to witness what it looks like to be the body of Jesus, led by the Spirit, they gathered. And then they kneeled down on a beach before they went back to their place of living. And Paul hopped on a ship. And it says they knelt down and they prayed. And they hugged. And they cared for one another. And this wasn't a, I'm right, you're wrong, you're right, I'm wrong. This is a, no, we're in this together. Because sometimes the Spirit creates a disagreement so that God can do something bigger than we might imagine. And sometimes in transitions and in disagreements, we just handle them poorly. But we have an opportunity to continue to follow the power of the Holy Spirit in disagreements and to land them in a way that bears witness to the power of the resurrection of Jesus, that he changes us, not because how we want to respond, but how the Spirit is willing to respond inside of us. This morning, as we conclude, I just want to ask you, how are you doing in bearing witness in your disagreements? I'm going to give you a minute just to think, to allow the Lord to have your attention. Maybe you disagree with God at this moment in your life. You and him aren't on the same page. Maybe you and him don't see Jesus the way he sees Jesus, and you haven't said yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior. I want to give you a moment to think about that. What does it look like to say an ongoing yes to Jesus with your life? Maybe you find yourself in a disagreement, in a relationship, where you and another person aren't on the same page and you haven't reconciled that in a way that's healthy. And the Spirit is just prompting you to say, man, take some time with the Lord. What might it look like to mature through that disagreement in a way that would declare the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Or maybe you're in disagreement with what the Lord is convicting you to do in the days ahead. The Lord has been saying, I have a passion for you to go do this or that, and you've been, well, disobedient. You just have not taken any action on what the Lord is stirring inside of you. And I want to give you a moment to just allow the Spirit a place in your life to ponder that. And so over the next just couple minutes, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and allow yourself to listen, and for the Holy Spirit to maybe show up and prompt you. And then I'm going to do what they did, and I'm going to kneel down and I'm going to pray over us as a body of believers that as the Spirit leads, we will be a humble people committed to following the Spirit and be in unity together. Father, we're a people changed by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus. So grateful that when he ascended back to be with you, the greatest transitional moment in history that left everybody wondering what could be, he ascends back to heaven and, well, you delivered. In the transition, you gave us the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that we'd be a people receptive to the Spirit's leading. And as the Spirit moves in us and among us, and it causes us to need to experience change inside of us, change that only can be of you, but oftentimes creates conflict among us. I pray that we'd be a people committed to honoring you and loving each other. Father, I pray as the Spirit would have us to wrestle, that we would not fear that, but we would embrace that. And Father, as the world cancels people out during a time of disagreement, may your body of believers be a people that even in our disagreements, we actually get closer to each other, closer to you, more reliant upon your Spirit in our life to help us walk in unity. Because we know it is the unity of your church working through our disagreements as humans that bears witness to the power of the resurrection. And as we have been changed by that, we want to make sure all people have access to knowing and responding to Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.